Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly loved by God, secure in that love and loving one another. There are many books out there, secular and religious, about the topic of the well-lived life. Stating the obvious, we only have one life. Who among us would not argue that we want it to be well-lived? But what determines that? Some people think a well-lived life is a life that has gained great worldly success, or abundant material wealth, or someone has come up with a great thought or philosophy that might be handed down to the next generation. What about you? Will people say at the end of your lives that it was a well-lived life? Our fellow Christians will agree that it was and say that it was a well-lived life if we follow the example of a widow who lived in the port city of Joppa in Israel and the Apostle Peter. As St. Luke writes to us the accounts of these two fellow Christians, we come to see that the life of faith is the life lived well. Because it is a life that shows charity. It is a life that seeks the Lord's will. It is a life that helps others see Jesus. What do we know about this woman who lived in Joppa? St. Luke tells us that she was a widow. He tells us, calls her a disciple. She was a believer in Christ. Luke tells us that her name in Hebrew was Tabitha. And then Luke added for his Greek friend Theophilus that he would know that name in Greek as Dorcas. We know from St. Luke's account that this believer, Tabitha, lived a life of faith, a life lived well, because it was a life lived showing charity. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Like so many widows in our congregations today, this widow showed her love for God and for others by helping others, by doing works of Christian charity. In fact, not a few of the women's groups among our congregations have adopted her name as theirs. And they call themselves Dorcas Societies. These congregations and the communities in which they exist would be all the poorer were it not for these faithful, serving groups of widows and other women who go about doing good and helping the poor. Doing good and helping the poor are things that you and I do in our lives of faith, our well-lived lives, collectively as a congregation. When someone calls seeking the help of food, we send them a coupon or a gift certificate to a local grocery store. I mentioned earlier our garage sale that we're going to have early in the summer. It'd be nice to make a dollar or two, but we're going to be helping people who are looking for bargains, especially in these difficult economic times, for clothing and other necessities that we will be able to provide for them. I would guess, and I know in some of your cases, that all of you have certain charities or other organizations in your daily lives that fill your heart with their purpose, and you want to do good for them and help them, and so you show Christian charity through those organizations as well. The life of faith is a life lived well because it's a life lived showing works of charity. Tabitha lived in that security of God's love for her as Jesus laid down his life for her on the cross, as we heard last week. And as we hear and are reminded of each and every week in our public worship service, she also then loved others. Tabitha manifested her faith, and she often did it with a needle and thread. Luke tells us that the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them were shown to Peter by these other widows. And the sentence form there and the context would indicate that it's entirely possible that these other widows weren't doing this in the abstract. That when they were showing Peter the robes and other clothes that Dorcas had sewn, that they were showing Peter the very clothes that they were wearing. The very clothes that their friend Tabitha had sewn for them and made for them in their need during her life. But being a Christian, being secure in the love of God in Christ and manifesting that love for others, that well-lived life of showing charity, does not spare us from death, does it? Nothing spares us from that final end of our mortal life. And so Luke tells Theophilus, about that same time, she, Tabitha, became and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Her friends prepared Tabitha's body in the customary way. It would have begun to decay almost immediately. And so they washed it and wrapped it in burial clothes. But rather than bury it immediately, they did something a little unusual, and they took it to an upstairs room in a house. And then, hearing that Peter was in Lydda, a nearby town, they sent for him. These people had a life of faith. Theirs was a well-lived life because it was a life seeking the Lord's will. These people equated the presence of the Apostle Peter with seeking the Lord's will. Maybe the Lord would do something special for her. Maybe not. We need to seek the Lord's will. What better way? The Apostle Peter is nearby. Let's call him and have him come right away and seek the will of the Lord in this matter. Peter also did the same thing. Peter lived a life of faith, a well-lived life, because what did Peter do? Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Peter sought the will of the Lord in prayer. Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you have in mind for this child of God who has died? What do you have in mind? I'm seeking your will for these other Christians who have just lost their dear friend. In fact, now I'm here in Joppa. I see a lot of opportunity. I'm seeking your will and how you want me to carry the word of God out to others. And so seeking God's will, Peter got down on his knees and prayed. You want a life well lived? then live a life of faith that seeks the will of God. How do we do that? How do we go about seeking advice and guidance and help for the decisions and difficulties and answers that we're looking for in life? We can follow the examples of these other widows and these other disciples and talk among one another to seek the help of other believers as God can give us guidance through them. I can think of several times when I was in college that I went to the pastor who confirmed me, who then happened to be in Watertown, seeking his guidance, seeking his advice and his counsel when I had some questions and was seeking some answers about what the Lord wanted me to do and where the Lord wanted me to go. So a life well lived in the life of faith is when we seek out our fellow Christians and seek out God's representatives among us who can guide us and help us and direct us when we make these decisions. And don't we also seek God's will when we get down on our knees and pray? Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, where should I go? Lord, what's the answer to these burning questions in my heart? We pray like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if there is a way that this cup can be taken away from me, great. But not my will, but your will be done. A life of faith is a life we'll live well when we seek the will of God, not seek our own wills, not seek to do what we want, but to follow the lead and the guidance of our Savior, as he does that through different people and different events in life. As he answers our prayers, yes, sometimes even with a miracle. As he answered this prayer of Peter with a miracle. Peter looked at the dead woman and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then Peter took her to the other widows and to the other disciples and presented her to them alive. What was that? What was Peter doing other than living a life of faith, a life lived well by helping others to see their Savior? For the strengthening of the faith of these other believers, Peter brought the now living Tabitha to them and said, "Here, look at the power and the love of the God in whom you believe. Look at the grace and the mercy of that Savior that you now worship and in whom you trust for the full forgiveness of your sins. You look to his cross. You look to his empty tomb. Look now at the evidence and the manifestation of that love and power. Here standing before you in her physical body, restored fully to health, is your friend Tabitha." Peter's action here and in the coming days was a life of faith lived well because he spent his days showing other people their Savior. In the verse right after our text, we read that Peter decided to stay in Joppa for a while and that many people believed. So we can well imagine the community seeing Tabitha, Peter now going out and preaching God's word and teaching God's word, telling people, "I'm not telling you some cleverly invented story here. We are eyewitnesses of his glory. We saw him on the mountain. We saw him on Easter night, physically, gloriously alive. We know our Savior lives. He's your Savior too. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Don't think we have a miracle like that? You and I are the miracles. We stand before our friends and our family and our relatives and acquaintances as people who one time were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead and buried in the first death of unbelief, who have now been taken through the first resurrection of faith as the Holy Spirit calls us to new life in baptism and strengthens that faith in the means of grace. Like Peter showed Tabitha to others, when we witness to Christ, we show ourselves to others, not bragging, not taking credit for what we are, but boasting in the Lord, in the miracle of His grace and power, that we believe in Him and are saved, and that Jesus is their Savior too. Believe in Him, and you will be saved. There is a life of faith, a life lived well, that shows and shares Jesus with others. Peter did not use this miracle as the primary source of bringing people to faith. That's done through the Word. But here the miracle supports and is evidence of the Word. And of no less importance, this miracle of raising Tabitha from the dead reminds us of what we pastors were reminded of just earlier last week in our Pastors Institute on Luther and the body. We were reminded again so importantly that not just our souls are eternal, but our bodies are eternal. That this physical body, this flesh and blood, will one day rise from the grave in newness of life, to be completely and totally and instantly restored to the glory and the perfection that God created in Eden and that He intends through all eternity. Like Tabitha, who now awaits even a second resurrection from the dead, so you and I await the second resurrection that the Bible talks about in Revelation. Our first resurrection was from death to faith. Our second resurrection will be the resurrection of our bodies as we receive that full and complete redemption prepared for us by Christ's cross and declared in His resurrection physically from the dead. And that glorious day is surely coming after we live a life of faith, a life lived well. Amen.